Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
This morning, it's great to have Pastor Corey Turner back on our stage. It was actually 12 months ago that he was last here, and God has done incredible things in him and Simone's life. They've just at end of last year or the start of this year took on the leadership of our movement's oldest church in Melbourne, called Bridge Church, which was originally in Richmond Temple, and that was the first Assemblies of God Church, which is now the ACC, in Australia, founded by C.L. Greenwood. So it's over 100 years old, and even though the church has a great history, it's got an incredibly bright future under their leadership. So it's a great privilege for us to have them back. So why don't we stand to our feet, Myri, 9 a.m., as we welcome Pastor Corey Turner as he comes. Wonderful. Stay standing. We want to just welcome to the stream now our Court campus as well as our Phnom Penh campus from our Myri campus. You want to say hello? Give them a big wave. I want you guys to get ready for what God is about to do. Be expectant. Have your heart open. And we just know that even though you're watching this through the screen, God is going to speak to you and God is going to do something incredible in your life. And all of us here in Perth are right behind you, and we're praying for you and we love you. So one more time, can we give Jesus a big shout of praise? Welcome to the stream, guys. God bless.
How is everyone? We're good. Why don't you stay standing? Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your grace in our lives and to this house. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing at Nations Church all over the world and here in Perth. And Father, we just pray that as we come around your word now, that God, you would give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what it is that your Spirit is saying to this house. Father, I thank you that even already this morning, God, you are revealing that you've got another building, another property for this church to purchase. And God, I thank you that it's on your heart that this church occupies land and space and property. And so, Father, right now, we come into agreement in faith that you are going to provide that and supply that, that whatever obstacles or barriers have been to the purchasing or securing of that property, God, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you would release it into the hands of the leadership of this house, that God, it's time for expansion, to push the walls out, to move forward into new territory. And we just declare it and release that, oh God, right now for this Myri campus, oh God, and beyond. And Father, I just pray that all day today, every service, that as we come around your word and you say something new, something fresh, that God, someone in the room would walk away with a miracle. We just pray for signs and wonders to break out, Father, and for there to be a great witness of your kingdom coming in this room, in our hearts, and all across every campus. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. What a great honor to be back at Nations Church, 12 months on from last year. None of you look any older. You all look fantastic, amazing. And make sure you say that about me too. I'm senior pastoring again. There are a few more gray hairs. But it's great to be back. We just love Pastors Ken and Chrissy and the family so much. And obviously, you really are so close to our hearts as our nation's family. And I just, in worship this morning, I felt like God spoke to me and he said, son, I want to give Nations another property. And I do believe that that's imminent. It wouldn't surprise me if in the next 6 months that you hear news of God doing something. So why don't you join in faith and begin to pray into that. As God reveals, he also calls us to partner with him and co-labor with him. It's an honor for my wife and I to be here. I love my wife so much. And if you don't never met her, maybe come and introduce yourself to Simone and our kids. God is doing amazing things for our family and our church at the moment. And we're in the middle of a move of God. Just today at our service, 54 baptisms at our city campus. And so it's just exciting to be a part of what God's doing. I'm excited about what's happening in Cork. And obviously God has called Roland and Leanne for that. But for Kristen, who's there already, Kristen, I just saw, God showed me this picture of a snowplow that was plowing the way with this V-shaped blade to remove the obstacles and the barriers for what God is wanting to do. God says you're creating a highway, you're creating a freeway for the purposes of God. And you're going to be there for a season, but it's a significant season of removing the debris and the obstacles and the barriers for what God is about to do. And so, Father, I just pray for Kristen. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage her, that she is here in Perth, not by accident, but by intention, Lord, to hear your heart as she goes back and prepares the way for what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, at all four services today, I'm going to be preaching a different message. So, you want to come back? Let's fill this place up to overflow, because I believe that God is saying something new and unique in every service. So today I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy 7, 17 to 23. Deuteronomy 7, 17 to 23. Moses is speaking. And he's speaking to Israel, and he says this: if you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. The great trials that your eyes saw, the signs, the wonders, the mighty hand, and the outstretched arm by which the Lord your God brought you out, so will the Lord your God do to all the peoples of whom you are afraid. Moreover, the Lord your God will send hornets among them until those who are left and hide themselves from you are destroyed. You shall not be in dread of them, for the Lord your God is in your midst, a great and awesome God. The Lord your God will clear away these nations before you, little by little. You may not make an end of them all at once, lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you, but the Lord your God will give them over to you and throw them into great confusion until they are destroyed. I want to speak to you this morning on little by little. Little by little. Back in 2014, I did the Melbourne Ironman Triathlon. And for those of you who've heard me before, may have heard me share a few stories about that. But the Ironman Triathlon event is filled with much weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a 3.8K kilometre swim in open ocean water. And not too exciting in Perth's beaches, because you might get eaten by a shark. But then it's a 180-kilometre bike ride, a 42-kilometre marathon run. And I remember 18 months before that, talking with a coach, and already been training quite a bit and had an experience in athletics, etc. And the coach said to me, "What are you doing?" And I told him, trying to impress him a little bit, you know. And he's like, "Okay, we're going to scale all of that back, and we are going to begin with 10 minutes running, 20 minutes or 15 minutes swimming, 20 minutes bike riding, and then we're going to add little by little each week. We're going to add 5 minutes each week to each of those disciplines." And at the time, I'm sort of looking at him, and in my head, I'm thinking, this is kindergarten stuff. I mean, I'm running an hour, I'm biking 2 hours, I'm swimming, etc. And you want me to go 10 minutes, you want me to scale everything back and then start almost all over again. And I didn't really understand it. And I asked him the question, but I'm already further ahead than that. Why would I go backwards? He goes, because in 18 months' time, you're going to be running 4 hours. You're going to be riding 6 hours. You're going to be swimming 2-3 hours. I need to know that you have the capacity to be able to handle the resistance and the demand that will be upon you. And in order to understand whether or not you've got the capacity, we've got to scale everything back and add little by little. He was employing the principle of progressive overload. Progressive overload is the gradual increase of volume or intensity to achieve a goal. And in our spiritual lives, we are often focused on much by much. We get the prophecy and we're like, well, it should happen tomorrow. We get a vision for our life, or maybe God speaks to us in a dream and we're like, well, it should just automatically happen. It's like we go from point A to point B in a week, and if it doesn't happen in a week, we're frustrated at God and we're mad at the pastor and we're upset at the spouse. And maybe it's you see the need that's in front of you. Maybe it's a need on your heart, a burden on your heart for a third world nation. Maybe
It's the need in your workplace or in your neighborhood. And we're overwhelmed and we're sort of thinking much by much. But you need to understand something today. If you'll take care of the little by little, God will take care of the much by much. And I really believe that God is wanting to come in this service today and establish something that He has got nations for you. He has got cities in nations all over the earth. But it's not going to come much by much. It's going to come little by little. But then you'll wake up one day and go, look what God has done. You see, God has called Israel in this passage of Scripture to possess the promised land. This was not birthed for Israel out of their selfish ambition. This was birthed out of God's heart. This was God's promise. And sometimes when you live in a spiritual wilderness for a long period of time, you start to doubt or disbelieve that God actually has a promised land for you. You start to question and you start to sort of wonder whether or not you can actually live in the fullness of God's promises for your life. And so as Israel is in the wilderness and God promises them the promised land, it can sort of feel, as you read the text, there's this overwhelming sense that, I don't know if we can do this. I don't know if this is what God actually has for us or whether we're capable of that. And so when what's in front of you appears to be greater than what's inside of you, don't forget who is with you. Lots of us forget who is actually with us when we are facing something that appears greater than what's inside of us. In this first part of this passage, Moses says, if you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember what God did to Egypt. You've got to understand that when God calls you to something, it's always bigger than your capacity to be able to meet that call. God's vision for you will always appear bigger than what you have capacity for. That is not meant to lead you to despair. It is meant to lead you to greater dependence. Because if you could do it in your own strength, then you'll probably take all the glory for it. You'll probably take all the honor for it. And yet God is committed to doing things in your life that ultimately bring Him glory and bring Him honor. He is the one who wants to show off on your behalf. 2 Corinthians 2:8 says, Paul speaking, he says, we were so burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. But then he concludes it and he says, but this wasn't to make us, this event, this despair or this burden came to make us not rely upon ourselves, but to become more dependent and reliant upon God. You've got to settle something in your heart today. It's never been about your adequacy or your inadequacy. It's always only ever been about God's sufficiency. It's not about whether you're adequate, whether you're inadequate. If you were adequate, you'd be able to save yourself. But you couldn't save yourself. That's why you needed a Savior. If you could help yourself, there's no such thing as self-help in the kingdom of God. If you could help yourself, you wouldn't need the helper, the Holy Spirit. It's never been about whether you're adequate or inadequate. So stop disqualifying yourself based upon your inadequacy or qualifying yourself based upon your presupposed adequacy. It's always about His sufficiency. And what external pressure does in our lives, it reveals internal weaknesses. How do you know you're not coping and you're overwhelmed with external pressure? Well, when a kettle boils, when the water boils, what does the kettle do? Makes a noise. You know you're not coping with external pressure when complaining, whinging, comparison, judgment comes out of your mouth. When we make a noise, we're revealing an internal weakness. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Scientists discovered a rare fish that lives on the bottom of some of the deepest ocean floors. And they actually happened to get one of these fishes and study this fish. They actually pressure tested the fish and they discovered that the pressure inside the fish was greater than the weight of tonnage outside of the fish. that there was a capacity and a substance in this fish that enabled it to live in hostile environments. In 1 John 4:4, it says, he who is in you is greater than he is in your external environment. You've got to get a revelation of what is in you, of who is in you, of what God has put inside of you. Don't let spiritual amnesia rob you of your faith in God's ability to move on your behalf. We're often, when we face a valley, when we face a contradiction, we often are quick to forget what God has already done, how God's already moved. But let me tell you, the same God who got you through that valley and that discouragement and that issue is the same God with you today. The same God that dealt with Israel's enemies, Pharaoh, and all of the soldiers and the chariots and the horsemen, is the same God that was going to get them into the promised land and help them walk in victory over all of their enemies. You've got to understand, God brings his promises to pass very differently than what you and I expect. We expect that God just moves in our life in one foul swoop. It's all worked out. Thank you very much. We get on with our life because we value comfort over character. But you've got to understand something. God keeps your enemies alive so you can grow an authority over them. In verse 22, Moses declares, the Lord your God will clear away these nations before you little by little. When Israel was at the Red Sea, God cleared Israel's enemies, Pharaoh, and all of the soldiers and the chariots away in one foul swoop. Just bring the waters back. Let's clean it up. It's like a cosmic shower. Let's just get rid of all the dirt and let my people go on to what God's called them to do. In one foul swoop, in one swift action, let me tell you, God can deal with the resistance coming against you in one moment. He's not sitting around scratching his head, looking at your circumstance going, I just don't know what we're going to do. I'm at a loss. I don't know. He's never intimidated by what intimidates us. And yet the Bible says he's not given us a spirit of fear or intimidation, but a power, love, and a sound mind. So the God in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory, is not intimidated. He's always got an answer. Just one twinkle of his eyeball, he can make something happen you could never make in a lifetime. So if he isn't moving, if he isn't doing something immediately, what is he actually doing? You see, in the promised land, he was overcoming Israel's enemies little by little. He doesn't eliminate resistance immediately in our lives because he is more interested in our character than our comfort. He's more interested in who we are becoming than in what we can achieve. The Apostle Paul prayed 3 times that God would remove his thorn in the flesh. We don't really know what that thorn in the flesh was. It could have been something to do with a physical infirmity or sickness. It could have been to do with the persecutions that were coming against him. But no matter how much he prayed, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. I'm not going to remove this straight away, but I'm going to give you grace in the midst of the resistance. I would argue that Judas alive did more for Jesus' ministry than Judas dead. Judas alive, as a betrayer of Jesus, did more for the salvation of planet Earth than Judas dead. And after a full night of prayer, Jesus calls Judas as the Son of God with foreknowledge, knowing something wasn't exactly right, but God was going to use this resistance to achieve his sovereign purposes for planet Earth. I can't help you walk in victory where I haven't actually grown in authority. And all the time, what sometimes as preachers and as leaders, we preach messages and we give people the prescription for their issues and needs and brokenness, but we ourselves have not walked in the fullness of that victory in our own life. and God uses all of us in spite of us. But there is something that happens through the impartation of a person who's actually conquered the giants, the very things that they are declaring about. When there is an authority that we grow in over the enemies in our lives, I'm not talking about people because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness in the heavenly realm. When you and I rise up and begin to walk in authority, little by little, we become that point of breakthrough for others because we're imparting the authority that we have grown in. Spiritual authority is commensurate to your influence in people's lives. You can't influence where you have no authority. And as we grow into more Christ-likeness, the character of who Jesus is, as we live beyond the temporary benefits of earthly comforts, and we choose to allow God to do His work in us, we grow in authority and we actually help others around us to walk in their own victory. You see, the chief obstacle to growing in spiritual authority is to push your influence ahead of your capacity to steward it. One of the manifestations of our brokenness is that we like to push our influence ahead of our capacity to actually steward the gift that God gives us. You see, in verse 22, Moses said, "You may not make an end of them all at once." Well, what do you mean, God? I've got the word, I've got the promise. I want it all to happen now. It should happen now in this instant, immediate gratification culture. Like, God, don't you care that I'm, you know, like, I've had to wait 48 hours for a breakthrough in my life? I mean, I'm on the edge here. I'm used to people serving me, and wherever I go, customer service, and we can start to treat church like we're just delivering spiritual goods and services to people, and why haven't I got my breakthrough yet? But you've got to understand, premature promotion is to be avoided at all costs. There is nothing worse than being given a platform when you are not ready for it. And what often happens in the kingdom of God, and you apply it to your world, your business, your career, your calling, your ministry, your family, we get great promises and great words and great encouragement, but we try and make it happen. We try and strive for it. We try and push it. And then when you get there, you realize, hey, maybe I'm not as ready for this as what I thought. We lead towards thinking we're more ready than what we are. This is what I've learned. If the door hasn't opened yet, you're probably not ready. But when the door opens, if you have allowed God to work in you and do what He wants to do inside of you to build your capacity, and you're reminded of who is with you, when you walk through the door, everything that God has for you will become a reality quicker than you can blink. It's like this year we took on our church, and it's been such a blessing, but I'm praise God that I didn't take that church on 10 years ago or 5 years ago or 20 years ago, because it would have crushed us. But God prepared us, and we just released control over the last 5-10 years and said, God, whatever you want to do, we want to do what you want to do. We want to be where you want us to be. And because God had done His work, when you step into it, God says, okay, let's push the accelerator down. Let's begin to move forward. Let's begin to change nations and cities and do what God wants. Why? Because now you're ready for what God has for you. You see, I love what John the Baptist says in John 3:27, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given to them from heaven. You know, that gives me so much confidence that when I receive stuff, and I'm just like, thank you, God, you gave that. What a blessing. And when I don't receive it, I go, well, God clearly is sovereign, knows best what's best for me and not best for me. And so it takes all of the human striving out of it, and you can let God bring into your life what He wants to bring into your life. Let's learn from King David's son Absalom, who who sort of organized a group of people to run before him and shout his name and declare that he was king when God hadn't anointed him and God hadn't given him that position. But he ran ahead and it ultimately resulted in his own death because he didn't realize that God makes everything beautiful in its time. God has a time and a season for this house. He has a time and a season for every family in here, every individual, every marriage, every business. He has a time and a season. He wants his kingdom to advance through you. He said, pray like this, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's more committed to his kingdom advancing through your life than you are. But he makes everything beautiful in its time. And we have got to trust in God's providence, because if we received God's promises all at once, we'd probably be devoured by the beast. It's an amazing passage of scripture. In verse 22, Moses says, you may not make an end of them all at once. Why, Moses? Here it is. Lest the wild beasts grow too numerous for you. You see, Israel... literally, we're facing the prospect of wild animals multiplying and overtaking them if God was to remove their enemies too quickly. But if you fast forward to the New Testament, you realize spiritually there is another beast. His name is the devil. And our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's searching, he's looking, and he brings with him other beasts, beasts like greed, beasts like pride, beasts like temptation. And the higher you go in your calling, it's not about prominence as it is about purpose. It's not how many people follow you on social media as it is about your true influence in somebody else's life. The higher you go in your calling, the more of a target you become. Recently, some of you would have heard of or been exposed to a current affair and that really negative report on Pastor Phil Pringle. And it was totally taken out of context. Totally. Phil Pringle's a personal friend of mine. I've ministered at similar events as him. And I want to say to you that what you saw there was the higher that someone goes in their calling, the more of a target they become. And that is a current, contemporary, modern-day example of someone who's become a target for the media. But let me tell you, as a believer today, wherever you are, whatever your work is, you also are a target for the enemy. Wherever you work, whatever you do, you are a target. And the question you've got to ask yourself, if God was to give you everything today you are currently praying for, would you be able to handle it? Because we're there like, we're praying and we're fasting Facebook and, you know, which is not real fasting. And we're doing all this stuff to believe God. I'm desperate. Oh, Pastor, I'm just desperate. Well, if God was to say, okay, here you go. Could you actually carry it? But if we would take care of the little by little, in whatever God puts in our hands and whatever God does in our lives, one day you'll wake up and God will take care of them much by much. Thousands of believers, millions of believers are frustrated at how slow their progress is. Could it be that God's protecting them? That God says, I'd love to answer that prayer, and my heart is to answer that prayer, but you're not ready for the answer. And when you say, God, I ask you to move in my life this way, that way, bring to pass what it is, God goes, okay, get ready to be changed, because I'm going to help you become the answer to your own prayer. You see, what God is trying to teach us through this passage of Scripture is that the promises of God are eternal, but the possession of them is gradual. He doesn't give them all to you all at once. We grow into it as we walk with Jesus. The question isn't, can we trust God to fulfill His promises? I used to be, you know, hold God off at arm's length. I don't know if I can trust you with my dream. With my promises. He's like, wrong question. The issue is, can God trust you with his promises? Can God trust you with his dreams? Because he is looking for anybody that is trustworthy to build his kingdom, to take the brick, to take a sword and start to fight the enemy and build his house. He is looking for trustworthy people. But trustworthiness is built little by little. My encouragement to all of us today is, let's take care of the little by little. What's your little by little today? What is it that God's put in your hands? What is it that God's asking you to do? Yes, have the vision for the much by much, but that much by much will only become a reality as today you take care of the little by little. Can we just stand to our feet together? I want to invite you just to close your eyes just for a moment. If you're here today and you say, I'm frustrated at how slow the progress is. Be honest with yourself. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. I'm frustrated. God's not rebuking you today. He's actually encouraging you. He's coming and saying, I'm in it. I'm with you. I'm in the much by much. But I want to work with you in the little by little. And if you say, you know what? I'd really just like to lift my hands and receive prayer because I need grace. I need the grace that is sufficient, the strength that's made perfect in weakness. If that's you today and you say, you know, I've been frustrated at the slowness of this progress, I want to pray this word into your heart today. So if that's you, just raise your hand wherever you are. Say, yep, it's me. And so, Father, we come to you today. We lift our hands. God, we all face things in our life in different seasons where we get frustrated. Seems so slow. Seems like it's taking too long. It seems like it's never going to happen. But God, today you're coming to us and you're saying, I do have much by much for you. My promises will not fail in your life. I am not a man that I should lie. I've declared something. I've prophesied something. I've put something into your spirit. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain forever. I am going to bring it to pass, says the Lord. But the Lord says, I'm coming to you. I'm protecting you. I'm taking you on a journey. I'm helping you do the little by little. I'll take care of the much by much. And Father, I just pray today for abundant, sufficient grace to invade every person's heart in this room. That, Lord, this word would be applied practically, spiritually, even mentally to us today. That, Lord, in those moments of frustration and impatience, we would be reminded of little by little. How you said to your people thousands of years ago, yes, the promise is going to live. Yes, I am going to drive out the nations, but it's going to happen little by little. Lord, I thank you for this house. I thank you, Father, that little by little you've grown it. And I thank you, God, that you're going to continue to do the much by much through the little by little. I pray, Lord, today you'd encourage the leadership of this house. You'd encourage, oh God, every person in this room with their hands raised and acknowledge today, God, we thank you for this word. We needed it. And I ask by your Spirit right now, come and apply it to this house. Come and apply it to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. I just want to invite you to keep your eyes closed, lower your hands for a moment. Every service at Nations, we give people an opportunity to make a decision to follow Jesus. And I love the fact that this is a church that doesn't just pay lip service to having a heart for people that are far away from God, but actually makes room and space for people to experience the reality of who Jesus Christ is. And if you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ to become your Lord and Savior, to come and forgive you of your sin and come and live in your heart, you have an opportunity right now to respond to this altar call, to raise your hand, and we'll pray for you right where you're at. Or maybe today you've already done that in the past, but right now you're far away from God. And right now in this moment is an opportunity for a rededication, a recommitment. Whether this is the first time or the second time, right now all across this room, as believers are praying in this room, if that's you, I want to encourage you to raise your hand and be a part of this prayer. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all are in need of a Savior. Apart from Jesus, we're lost. We can do nothing. But because of Jesus Christ, we can receive by faith the free gift of eternal life. If today you're here and you know, I need Jesus in my life. I need forgiveness for my sins. I want to come back home into the arms of my Father. Just raise your hand right now if that's you, wherever you are. Just raise your hand. We'll see it. We'll acknowledge it. Whether you're at Cork Campus or Phnom Penh or here in this room, just raise your hand up and we'll see it. We'll acknowledge it today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're going to pray together right now. I'm just wondering if we all could join in prayer for anyone who might have participated in this prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin, to wash me clean, to come live in my heart. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life. I belong to you. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old has gone, the new has come. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give Jesus a hand of praise today.
Come on, just keep your eyes closed just for a moment. I really feel that the Lord wants to continue to do something in this room this morning. What a powerful message on the little by little. So I was just sitting in the front row. The sense that I've got today is that there's more that the Lord wants to do in some people here. And if you're carrying disappointment in the season of little by little, where your progress seems so small incrementally, you're saying, God, I don't know how long I can sustain the faith to believe that you're going to do the much by much. If you're here this morning, see, disappointment is the gap between our expectation and the reality we're experiencing right now. And sometimes in that gap, the disappointment's real. And it's in that place of disappointment that we start to question God. We start to feel offended at Him. We start to feel frustrated. We start to want to pull away rather than run to community, than run to the Word of God. This morning, I believe in my own heart that the only way to deal with disappointment is actually to be healed by Jesus. And this morning, if you're in the place or the valley of disappointment, you need again to reaffirm that He is the way maker and that He is the promise keeper of your life. And so this morning, as the band begins to just lead us in this worship song, if that's you, we want to pray for you today, because I believe that Jesus needs to encounter your heart again in that place and in that space, just like He did Peter at the shores of Galilee in John chapter 21, where Peter was disappointed and yet Jesus cooked breakfast for him and restored him and healed his heart. If you're here in this place today saying, yeah, that's me, God, I've come and I need you to touch my heart in this little by little season, because I don't want to walk out of here feeling disillusioned and disappointed in you any longer, but I want my faith to rise again because the much by much is coming. And if that's you, come on, begin to step out of your seat right now. Come quickly.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.